hospital staff, he was a diseased man, unhappy, dangerous, borderline psychotic. Everyone tended to forget that Benson was also brilliant. His computer work was outstanding in a field where many intelligent men worked. On the initial psychological testing at the NPS, his abbreviated WACE IQ test had scored 144. He was fully capable of planning to leave, then listening at the door, hearing the cop and the nurses discuss going for cigarettes, and then making his escape in a matter of minutes. But how? Benson must have known that he could never get out of the hospital in his bathrobe. He had left his street clothes in his room. He probably couldn't get out wearing those either, not at midnight. The lobby desk would have stopped him. Visiting hours had ended 3 hours before. What the hell would he do? The cop went to the nurse's station to phone in a report. Ross followed along behind him, looking at the doors. Room 709 was a Burns patient. She opened the door and looked inside, making sure only the patient was there. Room 708 was empty. A kidney transplant patient had been discharged that afternoon. She checked that room, too. The next door was marked Supplies. It was a standard room on surgical floors. Bandages, suture kits, and linen supplies were stored there. She opened the door and went inside. She passed row after row of bottled intravenous solutions, then trays of different kits, then sterile masks, smocks, spare uniforms for nurses and orderlies. She stopped. She was staring at a blue bathrobe, hastily wadded into a corner on a shelf. The rest of the shelf contained neatly folded piles of white trousers, shirts, and jackets worn by hospital orderlies. She called for the nurse. "It's impossible," Ellis said, pacing up and down in the nurse's station. "Absolutely impossible. He's 2 days, a day and a half post-op. He couldn't possibly leave."
"He did," Janet Ross said. "And he did it the only way he could, by changing into an orderly's uniform. Then he probably walked downstairs to the sixth floor and took an elevator to the lobby. Nobody would have noticed him. Orderlies come and go at all hours."
Ellis wore a dinner jacket and a white frilly shirt. His bow tie was loosened, and he was smoking a cigarette. She had never seen him smoke before.
"I still don't buy it," he said. "He was tranked heavily with Thorazine and..."
"Never got it," Ross said.
"Never got it?
What's Thorazine?" the cop said, taking notes. "The nurses had a question on the order and didn't administer it. He had no sedatives and no tranquilizers since midnight last night."
"Christ," Ella said.
He looked at the nurses as if he could kill them. Then he paused.
"But what about his head? It was covered with bandages. Someone would notice that."
Morris, who had been sitting silently in a corner, said,
"He had a wig."
"You're kidding."
"I saw it,"
Morris said.
"What was the color of the wig in question?"
the cop said.
"Black,"
Morris said.
"Oh, Christ," Ellis said.
Ross said,
"How did he get this wig?"
"A friend brought it to him the day of admission."
"Listen," Ellis said, "even with a wig, he can't have..."